What's the hardest and most difficult thing you find yourself having to wait and watch on these days, to watch for or to wait for these days? Sometimes in life, we all have to wait on something. And I believe sometimes while waiting and watching, as Jesus calls it, it gets tough. And when it gets tough, people tend to take things into their own hands, as we saw in the lives of Abraham and Sarah many, many years ago in the Old Testament scripture. But I want to give a good example of a more recent event that you may or may not be aware of. In the late 19th century in America, there was a wave of enthusiasm for prophecies to predict the exact time and day of the coming of Jesus Christ. And one of the people who was involved with that was a prophet who was an Adventist leader named William Miller. William Miller was involved with starting both the Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventist. And at that time, Miller first predicted that Christ would return on March 21st, 1842, so people began to mark their calendars. But then he revised the date, for whatever reason, to April 3rd, 1843. And over 3,500 of his followers packed into a temple in Boston, one of the Advent temples there, only, as you know, and I know, to obviously be disappointed. Well, you might have thought that the movement would have died out after that, but it didn't. Actually, some people even got on board as he set a new date for April the 18th, 1844. When the Messiah did not show up on that date, there was frustration, and some followers left the Adventist ranks. But undeterred by these failures, Miller pressed on, and then on October 22nd, 1844, said again, "Jesus is coming on this day. Be ready." Well, the date was publicized in a publication called The True Midnight Cry. And surprisingly, this third date, rather than turning people off and away, rallied a bunch of followers, believe it or not. Churches which did not accept this philosophy and this approach to life were considered agents of Babylon and of the devil. So the other mainstream religious groups that didn't agree with him were ousted and ostracized. But many people, even including clergy, began to defect into the cult and began to quit their day jobs, if you will. As the doomsday approached, the Millerites began to prepare. One account noted it this way: fields were left unharvested, shops were closed, people quit their jobs, they paid their debts, they freely gave away their possessions with no thought of being reimbursed or things given back to them. And the publication of the Midnight Cry warned the public, "The time is short. Prepare to meet thy God. The Lord is coming." And I'll put my finger there to say, yes, that's true. But we don't know the date and the time. And so Miller himself even began to peddle these white ascension robes for people that were going to stand in dug graves to be standing there when the Lord arrives in the sky. Now, I don't know if he sold them or he just gave them away, but there's a business for you at the end of time, whenever he called that date on October 27th, 1844. And you and I know today that obviously his third and final prediction did not come true. In fact, I would say today, if Miller had heeded this morning's gospel message that we heard Christy read a moment ago, he never would have had to go through all of this. Because the Lord says, no one knows the day or the time, only the Father, not even the angels or the Son, but just be ready, be wide awake, be prepared, be spiritually prepared when I do return. So there's three things we can take from the scripture this morning: the promise that Christ is coming, amen? Christ is coming. We don't know the time, and that's okay, but it's soon, relatively speaking. And we need to be ready and be prepared. Now, I want to say out loud to begin with some of the favorite things that you and I love to wait upon, like lines in the restaurant, lines in grocery stores, lines at the... I'm not getting any laughing here, so... You guys must love those things. Waiting in the doctor's office. Do I hear a groan? Yes, thank you. That was good. We don't like to wait on those kind of things. But I believe that from the cradle to the grave in this life, it begins with waiting. We wait to be fed. We wait to be changed. We wait to be taken care of and put to sleep. We wait for someone to reach out and care for us, and later in life we wait to get that golden document of a driver's license so we can have freedom. We wait for people in later life to come and care for us once again. We eventually wait for retirement so that we can, when in reality the people that I see in retirement are just like going into third gear and they start working even more than they did before they retired. Amen? Well, there's an amen. There's three points that I want to kind of draw out of these few scriptures today, if I could, from the gospel message. Number one, what are we watching for this season? Keep it simple. How do we watch? And then finally, why does Jesus call us to watch? The simple point is, during this Advent season, as we wait upon the Lord, no matter how long and difficult it may seem to wait or to watch on things, it is always worth doing. No matter how difficult, it's always the right thing to do, to be in expectation of the coming of our Lord. So just like the silent prayer that I shared at the beginning of this message, for some of you waiting for the first word that didn't come, sometimes waiting is tedious and it's difficult and it's a challenge, but before the Lord, it is always the right thing. We live in a culture that thrives on immediate gratification. And the message preached from that today, church, I believe, is if you can't get it right now, it ain't worth having. But that's wrong whenever we're called to wait upon the Lord. Some here in this congregation this morning have learned to be patient in waiting through life's experiences, like it or not. I can't say that I'm all the way there yet. I'm a little further along than I was, but I'm not there. So this morning, I just want you to take a second and think of the times that have been difficult and challenging for you to wait and watch through those times. What was so hard about that? Why do we rebel against it when it comes to waiting on things? You know, obviously my family and I waited a week or so ago in hospital waiting rooms, and then we were waiting for results, and then we were waiting to go back home, and just all of those trying times are challenging for us. In Mark's gospel, we hear Jesus speaking of the seriousness of watching. And I believe today he intentionally touches on four specific times of the day to watch. He says, watch in the evening, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or the next watch before the sun comes up, and then watch at sun up. Now, we wouldn't necessarily speak that way in our day and age, but essentially he's saying around the clock, watch and wait and be prepared because I'm coming soon. 1 Peter 5:8 states it this way, be alert and be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, which is very directly related to why we cannot be spiritually asleep. You see, I believe Jesus knew the danger of spiritual laziness and slumber when we need to be diligent. Here's another good illustration, I believe, and I hope you see the connection today, from Paul Harvey. Anybody familiar with that name? And now for? You got it. Okay, so this one's titled, If I Were the Devil. Paul Harvey says it this way, if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude the minds of the people into thinking that they had come from man's effort instead of from God's blessings. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. I would convince people that character is not an issue. I would make it legal to take the life of unborn babies. I would make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. I would take God out of schools, where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs to sedate the mind and target the young, and I would get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the minds of every family member for my agenda. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas and movie screens, and I would call it art. I would convince the people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agendas as politically correct. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant and out of date, and that the Bible is for the naive. I would dull the minds of Christians and make them believe that prayer is not important, and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. I would, well, come to think of it, I would leave things pretty much the way they are. Sometimes we lose sight of the value of waiting and watching for things that matter in this life. Waiting on the word of the Lord. Sometimes when we're waiting on the word of the Lord, we see fruit immediately. Sometimes seeds are planted, but always waiting is never in vain. Especially this time of year as we consider Advent. Earlier this morning, whenever I was at the back and we were praising, before I came up singing one of the praise songs, and I couldn't help but notice two out of the five candles lit. It's almost like we're getting there, but we're not there yet. And we're lighting candles representing hope and love and joy and peace, and we've got hope and love, but the whole picture is not there yet. What a great image of our life in Christ, who has died, who is risen, who is and will come again for his church. Listen to this, church, and let me say this a couple of times just because it's a mouthful. If you have a sense that God has you waiting in a place that's challenging and uncertain, be grateful he considers you worthy for the challenge. Let me say that again. If you have a sense that God has you waiting in a place that's challenging and uncertain, be grateful he considers you worthy for the challenge. You know, it's not anything that we do in our worthiness, but because of Christ, we have the righteousness of Christ. And we are in a worthy place to be waiting upon the Lord. The Bible states in Hebrews 11 this, that by faith many waited with one eye on the promised land. Many had left what was familiar to follow God's guiding hand to a new home, a new way, a new day. Hebrews tells us that all of these died in faith without having received the promise. But from a distance, they saw and they greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. But as it is, they desire a better place right now. It's worth having. Some here in this sanctuary today, some here in this congregation have learned to be patient in waiting through life's experiences, though I have to confess once again, I got a ways to go, but I'm learning. Those in Hebrews were looking for a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. What are we waiting for, watching for this Advent season? That's the question I think we need to stir in our hearts today as we come to the second week of a season of waiting. What are we watching for? Are we watching for false things or true things or faithful things or good and glorious things? I believe those are the things that Jesus calls to. The Apostle Paul reminds us always this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts upon what is true. Think about those things that are honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. And think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. As one pastor states it, the sadness of our waiting is when we lose the excitement of anticipation to the dreariness of apathy. I like that image. We should be an anticipating people, excited about the fact that Jesus is coming soon, not giving in to the dreariness of apathy. So how should we wait? It raises that question. How should you and I wait as a people of faith for the one who's coming and has been on the way for thousands of years, that we don't lose the fact that it's today. Today is the day when the Lord could come and take us all. What a wonderful day that will be. But consider this attitude. This may not even be a real story, but I think it makes the connection well. There's a story told of a gardener who took his waiting and his watching seriously. A tourist who was traveling in northern Italy stopped in to see his garden, and he wanted to visit a certain castle there where this gardener lived. And so when he got there, he met the friendly old gentleman who kept things in perfect order. And he asked him, "How long have you been here?" Looking around and seeing all of the flower beds and the trees that were trimmed and just perfect and no grass clippings on the lawn or anything like that. And he couldn't believe it. He said, "How long have you been here?" He said, 24 years, with a smile and an attitude that what he was doing was the greatest thing that could be done. "And how often does the owner of this castle show up to interact with you over those years? How often has he been here?" And he said, 4 times. So the tourist was like, "He's only been here 4 times in 20. When was the last time he was here?" And the gardener said, 12 years ago. And so the tourist began to scratch his head. "But 12 years? You never since then?" "Never. He's not been here ever since." "Does he write to you?" "No, he doesn't write." "Well, then who do you get your instructions on how to keep this thing laid out the way it is and how to trim things and how to set things up?" And from his agent in Milan. "Oh, well, does this agent come here quite often?" "He's never been here." And the tourist was perplexed. "Okay, let me get this straight. The owner of this castle has only been here 4 times in the last 24 years, and it was 12 years ago that he came, that you saw him last, and his agent never comes, but he's sent." "Okay." And as he's saying this, the gardener says, "You know, I'm almost always alone in this place. Only once in a great while a tourist comes here like yourself, and I get to show you the beauty of this garden. But you keep the garden in such fine condition and take such excellent care of the plants, just as though you expected your master to come here tomorrow." And he stopped him right there and said, "Today." "What? Not tomorrow. I don't expect him to come tomorrow. I expect him to be here today. And even though he hasn't shown himself in the last 12 years, I'll do nothing any differently." How faithful this old man was to his trust. Day after day after day, his thought was not, "Well, maybe tomorrow, Jesus." "Today is the day of salvation unto the Lord." And so he lived out his life that way. "Today, sir, today," was his response. Oh, to be found so faithful as the Lord calls all of us to be. And sometimes, though, like Abraham's impatience on the other hand, you see, when we have to wait in the waiting rooms of life and in the lines of life and in those places where we don't like to wait, we get frustrated and we get angry and often fearful. Though, if we hold on to great expectation and not agony, our joy will be as this gardener's was as he was interacting with this tourist who just got off the bus. But we get that way because we feel that if we don't get to be the first in line in a long line of waiting, so to speak, our rights are somehow violated. But let me say today, folks, out loud as the body of Christ, the good news is that I have no rights as a child of the King. I have no rights of my own because I belong to Him. Let that sink in just a moment. If the Lord is Lord and if the Lord is Savior, He has all right and every right over me. And when I come to that point of realization, I can be patient, like the ragtag group of guys in the upper room with the door locked that Jesus had said, "Don't leave this place until the Holy Spirit falls upon you and gives you power to serve me in love and in mercy and in grace." Wait on the Spirit to come. You see, waiting on God has more great things to accomplish now while the Spirit is doing great things in our midst. The psalmist put it this way. Psalm 130 states this: "I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning." Sounds kind of like a song, but I don't know the beat of it, but I think we could make a good one with it. Wait on the Lord. Be strong, be patient, and learn to wait upon the Lord. You see, we may struggle. I think sometimes I struggle because waiting seems like wasting. Waiting seems like wasting time and wasting opportunities and wasting away. But in the Lord, it's not that way at all. In fact, I believe today watching before the Lord doesn't mean doing nothing. In fact, when we watch before the Lord, it means praying. Waiting before the Lord means listening. It means seeking God's face to move God's hand in the life of others and my own life. It means seeking a closer walk with the one who made us. And so we wait and we watch. But how do we watch? Do we watch with anticipation or with apathy? It's a question we have to answer ourselves. We are able to wait in great expectation of the things of God because of what He's going to do in the future as out of what He is doing right now. God's doing great things in our midst, but there's a great waiting to be lived out as we watch for all four times that Jesus spoke to in the evening, midnight, before dawn, and at daybreak. Sincerely and specifically meaning the four watches in every culture. Around the clock, we are to watch and wait. See, it seems to me that what is being raised here is the fact that in every watch, shift, hour, moment, you get the point? We need to be watchful in prayer because Jesus is coming soon. Because while the kingdom and the second coming of Christ are still out there somewhere over the horizon, there are things continually happening now in this watch, in this shift, in this hour, things that challenge us as disciples of Jesus Christ. I believe it's safe to say when Jesus came the first time, like it or not, there were many who did not see Him. But when He comes the second time, all will see Him as the coming King and reigning Lord. And so as I said in the beginning, waiting is not easy for me, though waiting before the Lord is always right. Let me close, or at least begin to close, with this thought. What are you waiting upon? What's your story today before the Lord? Let me clarify that here a little bit as we pray into things of life. As we trust God with the vulnerable things of our heart and our lives. Some here may be waiting for a new job. Some here may be waiting for a relationship that needs to end. Some of us may be waiting for a relationship that needs to be healed, mended, and brought back together. Some may be waiting for the birth of a child, and others for the death of a loved one and to find grace in grieving. Some are waiting for sickness to pass. And some are just waiting on a word from the Lord. You hear that? And some here don't know how to wait and watch. And are not sure of what to wait and watch for, so you just do something all the time. And you've never answered the Master's call to open up your heart and just to let Him in and surrender to Him and to make Him Lord and Savior. Just do that. And let Him change you from the inside out. Though with that said, some here today know exactly what it means to wait patiently before your Lord. And you've been doing it for a long time. And He's been answering things on your life's journey. Some here have been on that journey a long time, and so we wait in hope for what's good and true before God. And sometimes, if not oft times, it's one of the toughest things to do because we don't know how to wait and watch. And so we seek His insight. But just as with Abraham so many years ago, when we believe what the Lord speaks to us, the Lord will reckon it in us as righteousness in faith. Let me close with this thought from William Willimon, who was a bishop in the Alabama Conference of the United Methodist Church. He wrote a book called Between Two Advents, and he's speaking about Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, and he says, Paul is simply recognizing the Corinthians haven't arrived yet. You know, we could scratch Corinthians and just put a line and put any church. That we could put Springville in there if we want to today and say that they just haven't arrived yet, but they're on the way. But they are on the way. They still make fools of themselves at times. Now, you may not want to put Springville in that, but, you know, I can put myself in there. They still make fools of themselves at times, but they knew who they were and whose they were. And so they were on the way. The church had been born, but it was not finished. The kingdom had come, but it had not come, which sounds almost like an oxymoron. But the reality is it's true. There's the already but not yet part of Advent where Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus is risen. Jesus will come again. And so the reality is the church is birthed, but it's not fulfilled until Jesus comes. And so we wait. So finally I ask, why do we watch and why do we pray? Sounds like a simple, two simple questions. Why do we watch? Why do we pray? And I believe today it's just to be as He is. To be as He is. To be faithful and diligent to our Lord in the in-between time. Sometimes I just appreciate simple truths because that's the it takes that to get through. And Pastor David DeWitt, in reference to Jesus' command to watch, be alert, and not be spiritually asleep at the wheel, puts it this way, simply put, Jesus has always been true to His word, and He is on His way. There's a promise today that we can take to the bank, so to speak. We may not always feel like waiting for something after 2,000 years, but feel it or not, we wait in great anticipation, not agony, because the Master is on His way, and therefore we live in a way that honors Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, it is so easy to become lax and lazy and lethargic in spiritual things. I know this firsthand. Oh God, forgive me where I've lost my edge and become complacent. Lord, we don't know when Jesus is coming. We just know He's coming. We don't know if it's in our lifetime or later, but Lord, help us to live out the rest of our lives watching and praying, living courageously and boldly for You, that on that day, that on that very day, we may stand before the Son of Man without shame. Oh God, thank You for Your forgiveness and for the hope that You place before us to lead us on in this life. It's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen and amen.